With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Alexa, I want to buy the Secret Room Podcast t-shirt.
Did you want me to order the Secret Room Podcast t-shirt?
Yeah. That's right. The best podcast t-shirt ever. And it's available on Amazon Prime right now. Find it in 5 luscious colors, in styles for men and women. Up your cool factor now by showing your affiliation with the coolest indie podcast on the planet. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Secret Room Podcast. Alexa, which color t-shirt do you like best?
Infrared is super pretty.
No, it's not really available in infrared. Yet. Maybe soon. And freshly posted, see yours truly flying the Secret Room colors in a heather blue while hiking in Colorado. Check it out at facebook.com/secretroompod. The Secret Room Podcast is brought to you by Audible, purveyors of the largest audiobook collection anywhere. To get a free audiobook download and a complimentary 30-day membership courtesy of The Secret Room, head to audibletrial.com/secretroom.
The following is an at-will presentation.
What's your secret?
All right, so one day we were walking down the pier, and my dad had a pair of shades on, and I asked him why he was wearing shades because it wasn't too sunny. And then he looks at me and he goes, I'm wearing these to look at girls' butts. And he was holding on to my stepmother's hand, but he kind of whispered it over to me, and I just thought it was, like, really funny and a great bonding moment.
The very first room I walked into as a newly minted veterinarian was a dog that I couldn't save. And the owner said, you know, Doc, besides this dog, all I've got is my mother, and I just really need you to do everything you can to save this guy. And I couldn't. And that seemed like a really hard way to start my career as a veterinarian.
Elaine's secret has cost her a job. It's cost her friends, too. And it's had an even deeper, more severe impact on her life.
So I don't have a ton of friends, but the ones that I do have do know.
Why did you want to tell your story here?
I haven't yet really told a lot of people. Being able to kind of tell my story to some people, someone might hear this that could understand that they're not alone.
Elaine called the secret line a while ago.
My secret is that even though I'm a medical professional and I am making life and death decisions for animals, I also have a major flaw as it is, and I am bipolar.
Bipolar disorder is a chronic mental illness that causes dramatic shifts in a person's mood, energy, and ability to think clearly. People with bipolar have high and low moods, known as mania and depression.
Elaine's 39 years old. And she had her first real psychotic episode when she was 32. And she's been in and out of mental wards for 5 years. She says as a kid, she was kind of feisty, so it felt like this was always brewing inside. Do your clients know your secret?
I would say maybe 0.05% of my clients know. And if they know, it's because they saw me on a day I was manic and I had to explain myself a little later on.
What's it like to be bipolar?
Until I was able to get what I would call a remission, it was total hell.
I'm Ben Hamm, and you're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to The Secret Room.
Hello.
So what do your manic episodes look like?
I don't know how to describe it. I was talking to my husband about this as I was like kind of mentally preparing, and he was relaying some of the things that he remembers that, like, I would get just focused on one thing, and it would be this like return. Like, did I tell you that this person did this and the animal did that? And you'd be like, yeah, you told me like 10 times.
Yeah, you told me before that a client or two might have caught on that you're bipolar.
Yeah, I'm like thinking of it like crystal clear. I can't exactly remember which one because I've been hospitalized 5 times from 2010 to 2015. But I distinctly remember that I was talking too fast, using my hands to explain everything, super happy, like extremely manic. Like when I am falling, I am all over the place trying to make everybody happy and everything's great in front of me, but everything behind me is like a muddy slide. So I kind of asked her the next time I saw her if she noticed anything, and she just smiled and said, it's okay. But yes.
Aw, that's sweet. That's nice. Has it been hard with relationships?
I have lost all of my friends from high school. It's just because of this, but I can definitely remember a time that one of my friends was being kind of silly and driving on the wrong side of the road, and we were already mad at each other, and then just starting like screaming and yelling at her in the car. Or we were on a band trip one time and we got like so mad at each other and we started like shoving and punching each other. It was like a girl fight in a hotel room, and the band director had to come in and break it up.
And not to take anything away from motherhood and family, but it must be challenges having a son.
So my son was born in August when he was 3 months old. It's not that I had any concerns that I was going to hurt my child, but I was so stressed out, and I had hired a babysitter who wound up being like not good at all. At one point, she breastfed my child without me asking her to. A normal person would have told her, like, pack your bags and don't ever come back, but I was trying to figure it all out. I was so confused. She also had a little boy that she would bring to the clinic where I worked, and it worked into the conversation that he said ZD all the time, ZD, ZD, which in French is penis.
Close enough.
Okay. And I would go up there to feed my kid, and she would try to feed her kid, and he didn't want to be fed, but she'd shove him on her boob. And I was already stressed out going back to work after 6 weeks of maternity leave, and I could not understand what was going on with this babysitter. And there was one night, I stayed up the whole night because I wanted to listen if my kid was crying so that I could go help him instead of this woman. And I couldn't do it. I stayed up all night freaking out, and I then went into a psychotic episode. It's almost like having a living dream. I was trying to channel help from a person from work to come get me because I knew my husband was talking to my sister about taking me somewhere. And it was just this giant hot mess, and I had to go to the emergency room to get help. And it was a young woman telling me, you're probably bipolar. We're going to get you on some medications. You won't ever breastfeed your child anymore, but that's okay. And she was trying to be upbeat, and it was making me so angry. And I was being defiant, like I wouldn't sign the paperwork that they wanted to. And they at least gave me an injection of a medication to calm me down. And in the middle of the night, I woke up thinking, I have got to get out of this. The only reason I was still in the emergency room was because there wasn't a bed at one of the mental wards in the state. So in the middle of the night, I asked the nurse for a piece of paper and a pen, and I wrote down everything that had been stressing me out. And in the morning, a social worker came and talked to my husband and I, and we came up with a plan. Like, you need a normal living situation, and they let me go, which is kind of amazing. Because a few months later, I was back in the hospital for real.
Why did you go back?
Well, 2 weeks before Christmas, I was fired.
Why?
I wish that my former boss would have just said, like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but this isn't working, or we don't get along. But what she said was that My alternative interests were not growing her clinic quick enough for her to be able to retire in the amount of time she wanted to retire. I could tell by pulling out the numbers myself that wasn't the case.
So why do you think she let you go?
Well, there was this one time when I was trying to negotiate. I wanted some of my continuing education money, which was in my contract. And what she was saying to me was, well, if you can finish it, then I will pay you back. So all of her employees were standing around me and just said, I am so sick feeling like you're an indentured servant. And I knew right then as it came out of my mouth, I think I just lost my job. I bet I just lost my job. So I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with my life. And there was a particular time where I was not sleeping well and it just started to kind of spin. I started getting paranoid. I actually deleted all of my emails. And unfortunately, in there were like correspondence with an aunt that had passed away, and I was never able to get those back. And just, I was also ticked off. It's kind of ironic. I picked a book that one of my relatives had given to me. It was like, Moving into Adulthood. And I had been like moving it around probably 10 times, and I never looked at it. I hated it. And we had a wood stove at the time where we lived, and I just burn it. And I just was starting to like burn things that were making myself mad. And it was in the winter time. I went out into this barn, and it's in a state now where marijuana is legal, but a friend of mine had given me some, like, if you can't sleep, just take some of this. And I could not get the thing to light. Like, I was in such a panic, and I can remember myself like, that's it. And I started communicating with the cow that was near me. My husband finally was able to come out and find me like hours later, and I never slept. And that next day is when he and my friend, they carpooled me to the hospital.
He must have been worried sick.
I know.
You were missing for hours.
But he had a baby to watch out for too. That was the hard thing. I mean, he had to kind of make some choices. And then I spent 17 days in a mental ward that January. Two policemen put me in the back of a police car and drove me to the mental hospital. And that's how it works.
Well, it wasn't clear on what happened in between the firing and the January hospitalization, so I called Elaine later to ask her that question.
I had to try to make it from before Christmas through the Christmas bowling party.
The firing just sent her into a spiral. She was stressed about a lot of things, and who wouldn't be? Leading into Christmas, losing her job, and Elaine was the breadwinner, they were moving, and there was a staff bowling party to deal with where no one knew she was going to be fired, except for her.
Trying to figure out and navigate all of those things, and that's when the switch flipped.
Elaine's husband recognized the signs and knew she needed care. He and a friend took her to the hospital.
Then they walked me to the emergency side of the place. And it was an all-day process, I guess, trying to find a bed, or I don't know what it was. By nighttime, everything was set up, and my husband was really trying to make it so that it didn't happen, but that was the only option.
That option was the personal escort by police officers to the mental ward.
It happened to me a second time, too, but it was a converted police car, and it was this lady driving and talking to me for 4 hours, and me just, like, looking out the window, like, I can't believe this is happening to me again. I was the criminal. I was behind bars, sitting in the back of the car. I was reading a little kid's book that I had swiped from my niece, and I had to listen to her for 4 hours. I'm sure she was trying to be super nice, but it wasn't a great situation.
Tell me more about that.
It was a converted police car. The lady had curly black hair. She would just talk the entire 4 hours. I remember sparkly purple fingernails, and I was convinced that I was going to meet my family. My living dream was I was going to meet my family because we were all getting together for like a family reunion, and I was just kind of waiting.
That's not where you were going at all.
Not at all. I was at the hospital, I guess. I didn't remember it, but one of the patients reminded me that I just got there and like screamed or something, like I was scared, and laid down in front of the TV and took a nap, and they just all left me alone. But then they put me in isolation so that I was by myself and couldn't scream at anybody else, I guess.
So about the ride in the police car, why did you have to ride for 4 hours?
It depends where there is a bed. So they called around all the places that had a mental facility, and that was the only bed that they could find for me. It was 4 hours away.
Did you end up in isolation a lot?
Okay, so it happened to me routinely. Of the 5 hospital stays, 4 were lengthy ones. 3 of them I had my own suite. One time I was put in isolation because I saw this little plant. It reminded me of my grandma, and it was in this pot. There was no way for the water to drain, and it really ticked me off. And I hadn't been there very long, so was not regulated on my meds. And I took the little plant and I flung it in the day room. And I was kind of almost like starting a food fight in my own mind, but it was a plant fight. I had, within 2 seconds, 4 nurses on me on the ground. One of the really big nurses stepped on my foot and it hurt, and I knew it wasn't broken, but I made a big stink and said, "I think you need to x-ray my foot because you stepped on me." Like, I was pissed. And they all just did what they had to, I guess, at the time, but it did hurt. I thought it was a bit much. It was a huge scene. I was put into like a type of a stretcher and wheeled right back to this room where it was, you know, you couldn't even, there was no way to hurt yourself in this room. And there was like a video monitoring you. Every so often I was in a room like that because I threw a plant or I tried to run out and get out of the locked in facility.
Wow. How do you break out of a mental ward?
Okay. The first time I tried to break out, I spit in someone's face. It was horrible. I jumped behind the nurse's station to make a point about they had spelled my husband's name wrong on a piece of paper, and it frustrated me.
And that's pretty extreme.
Yes.
What did you say to them?
Like, "Hey, you misspelled my husband's name. Hey, you misspelled my husband's name." Like, standing at the nurse's station, I'm sure they were ignoring me, and I could pick up on that. And I just scaled the fence. I just jumped over to make a point and laid there and made them carry me back to my room. And that's when they put me in leather straps. I sat there and sang "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead" and clanged my leather straps. And there was a poor, like, nurse's student who had to sit and watch me. And I was just freaking her out.
Is solitary confinement a place where you're actually locked up, or are you just separated from the general population?
I could have come out. Like, if I wanted to come out and be in the day room with everybody else, I could have, but I didn't know that. So I would just pace and walk the halls and make my own fun. Like, I had lunch at one point and had onion on a hamburger that I would never eat, and I took it and I flung it at the nurse's station window because I was just pissed.
Did you make friends with anyone at a mental ward?
I never really wanted to befriend anybody. I didn't really want to make friends with anybody on the inside. There was a time where I did have 2 other roommates. I guess it felt kind of like a friendship, but I just still felt queasy about it. A couple years later, I saw one of the girls at a gas station, and she was frantically doing scratch tickets and really in a panic and trying to get a hold of her dad to get more money. And I watched the gas station attendant just see him smiling and laughing. And then I left and I called and he answered. And I said, "I want to tell you that person in front of you has an illness and you need to find a way to get her help, not just sit there and laugh at her."
Yeah. And so looking back, were you ever in a situation where you felt you needed help but you weren't getting it from somebody nearby?
I saw 2 psychiatrists. The first 2 or 3 things they would tell me were,
you know, you cannot be on this medication if you're going to get pregnant. Like, they would just told me that like 10 times. And I'm like, yeah, I understand. Let's move on. But then there was a time when I was like, oh, I think I'm late. I could be pregnant. So I stopped taking my medication for, I don't know, 5 days. And then, whoop, I just slipped into my living nightmare. And my husband could tell that I wasn't doing good and called his sister so that she could come watch our son. And he took me to the emergency room in the middle of the night.
It must be hard knowing that you could slip into an episode without having much control over it. Has it ever happened to you while you've been on the job?
So I was having lunch by myself in this little cafe, and someone ran in and said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And I kind of looked around to see if someone stood up, and nobody did. So I said, "Well, I'm a veterinarian, but a body's a body, so what do you need?" And there was this cute little old lady who had tripped on their curb, and she was like half on the sidewalk, half on the street, and they wouldn't let her move. They're like, "You could have broken something, just stay there." And there were, I am not kidding, 20 people just kind of hanging out, gawking at her. So the first thing I did was like bent right down to her and I said, "You know, are you okay?" "Yes." "Do you think you broke anything?" "No." "Do you have any relatives around?" And she had a German accent. She's like, "No." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna help you." And I turn around, I'm like, "I want all of you back in the restaurant." I just didn't think she needed that gawk time. And the manager was just standing there like glaring at me. He's like, "I don't know who you think you are." And I was in my scrubs. I'm like, "I'm an effing veterinarian." And then there's two ambulances, and the first person that jumped out of one of the ambulances had been the receptionist at one of these offices I had been at for my psychiatric care, like horrible psychiatric care. And I was like, oh God, that's when I'm starting to sew all this stuff together, right? Like in my picture I sent at the People magazine where the hidden Kennedy who was stuck in the mental ward her whole life, it's all like coming together. And I told her, "I have to talk to you." So we go over to the side of the cafe and I said, "You know, in this moment, I'm here helping this woman. I'm not just bipolar, okay?" And she said, "I know. You were never as crazy as she said you were," which was my psychiatrist. I couldn't take it. Clearly, I probably wasn't taking all of my meds. I had been, at one point, on so much of a wrong medication, half of my hair fell out. But my doctor at that point told me to go to the Sally Beauty Supply and get a hair regrower. It's not your medication. So I guess these really just dramatic things happen. And if I'm not on my medicine and doing well, it can make me bloop, flip into a manic episode.
So Elaine, you sent some pictures we'll post. Thank you.
Yes.
The first one looks like a memory board, basically a bulletin board with items that you've tacked on it. Can you give us a tour?
Yeah. To the right is a print of a painting of my heart dog, Chance. And he passed away in 2013. And then there's a green piece of paper that has probably 200 dots on it. And I glued one bead at a time on this thing to like just pass the time. So I sat there and put a drop of glue, picked a bead, put it on. Put a drop of glue, picked a bead, put it on. Just boredom. And then I was allowed to do a copper etching one time. That was a big deal. And I picked an elephant because elephants never forget, and I'm never gonna forget this place.
Oh, and people can follow along at facebook.com/secretroompod.
Oh, and I think the People magazine was included too, because that just kind of freaked me out when I was trying to weave too much together that week.
Remind me what that People magazine was about.
It's about the Kennedy, Rosemary Kennedy, who had a lobotomy because her dad thought that she was just a little out of control, and then she was like a vegetable the rest of her life. And it just came along at the time where I knew I was slipping, and I was like, see, this is proof. She was just different.
Then there's a Christmas card.
That's because I'll never forget that I had a psychiatrist that was crazier than me. And for one Christmas,
I was going to send her an anonymous card, but kind of maybe in May or something.
And then there's a children's book.
That's what I read for 4 hours on my way to my last hospitalization, staring at the purple nail polish, reading that book. But really, I was actually reading it from the back forward, because in the back there was a better section, and it said, "Princess Lori is not a part of this story." That was the name of my last boss. I just had such anger still for that whole situation, but I'm over that now.
And how did you happen to have that?
At some point, I knew something was going down, and I just grabbed things to have with me. So that lived the whole night in the emergency room as I was just pacing around, talking to myself, waiting for the next day to come.
I say for comfort.
I guess.
And I guess there's a list of self-coping skills, which I guess is evident. You've marked some things in red.
Yeah, I guess, but I doubt I read that. Like, I probably was thinking, okay, I just need to start coloring things because I can't wait to get out of this group therapy session.
You know, it's funny that you say that because it is sort of covered up. So this bulletin board is something that you keep at your house?
It is at my house. It's in my office. It's supposed to have, like, work things on it, but it's just got a lot of fun stuff on it.
It's kind of a tribute, if that's the right word, to your mental illness.
Yeah. I have boxes and boxes of stuff just from those 5 years, and I pulled out some of them and stuck them up there.
Now there's a really interesting picture next. It looks like a stack of 14 booklets.
Okay, so that is the stash from one of my hospitalizations. Those are journals provided by the hospital. I couldn't even actually really look at it, honestly, because it sort of freaks me out how I was thinking at that time.
Must be really, really something to read.
I guess. I think I'll have to wait a few more years. I actually had one of my psychiatrists ask if he could read my journal. And he's like, "I just have one question for you." Like, yeah, he's like, "What does fo-show-mo-fo mean?" I was like, "Well, doctor, that would be for sure mother effer." And he was like, "Okay, well, let's just see how tomorrow goes." I want to say I'm in remission. I have a great doctor who tells me if you stay on your meds and sleep and take care of yourself, this isn't going to happen again. I just always previously thought, oh my God, when's it going to happen again?
And that's been the case for how long?
This September will be 2 years.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
So why are you telling your secret today?
I want people to know that it's okay to have a mental illness. If we had diabetes, we'd need to be treated. It's really important to allow yourself to accept that, you know, this might be happening and then find the good help you need. And I also think that it's important for people to know that as a veterinarian, you know, we don't just play with puppies and kittens all day. We have a ton of stress, just like everyone else, but at kind of a pressure cooker level, to where if you go to 6 veterinarians, one of the veterinarians you've seen would have contemplated suicide.
Elaine, thank you for joining me in the secret room.
Thank you for having me.
Elaine highlighted to me a couple of times that suicide rates among veterinarians is high. They work with people's beloved pets that are often sick, and it's not easy at times. There's a resource dedicated for vets in need. It's called Not One More Vet, and you can find them at the acronym for that title, NOMV. That's for Not One More Vet. NOMV.org.
Hey, Ben.
Dahlia. Dahlia, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Wow. Great to have you in the secret room, just as we're ending the show.
Ben, I want to come back next time. I have an update for everybody.
You're going to give us a Dahlia update?
Yeah, I have something to say.
Huh, wonder what that could be. So next time, Dahlia has something to say. Join us. And with that in mind, it is time to wrap up this episode of The Secret Room, which means you are free now to go listen to all the other podcasts that you love. Until next time, of course. Thanks for keeping us at the top of your list. We love you for it. And we must credit the music.
Our music is composed and performed by Breakmaster Cylinder.
Great. How did you hear about The Secret Room, Elaine?
I always tend to want to listen to something that's true, so I can click a thing and it'll just show all the podcasts that are kind of on the true. I listened to one and then I was hooked. I had to listen to them all.
Oh, and I love binging podcasts too. And when I find a podcast that's worth my time, I always leave a 5-star review. And if you found this podcast to be worth your time,
you can leave a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app.
And don't you think your story should find a home in The Secret Room? Send a couple of lines about it to share@secretroompodcast.com. I would love to have you on the show. And you can follow and like the show at facebook.com/secretroompod, where you'll find pictures for all our recent shows, including today's. The pictures that Elaine described today are waiting for you now. You can also follow the show on Twitter @secretroompod.
Wait.
What?
Wait. It's @DahliaBeta Twitter, you guys.
We'll see you there too.
I still have more followers than you.
Now stop. Oh my God. It never ends.
Okay, bye.
Okay, let's put this one in the can. Elaine, take us out.
Pod on.
Pod on.
Pod on.
And so can we talk about the conversation with the cow? What were you guys talking about?
Yeah, I don't even remember the conversation we had. It was definitely an important one, though.
I'm sure.
Me out in this barn in the wintertime without any normal clothing on.
Ah, too bad it's gone.
I know.